Let's go, Jeff Kirkos. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. We're back, baby. Mike was on the IR. We had to take a week off, but we're back now. Better than... we're back. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Giants are winning 3-1 right now. Going for the four-game sweep with the Rockies, which they need. But, everything is going okay.
Yeah, your boy Hayden Birdseed has been good.
Yeah, he has been. Birdseed with the monster strikeouts.
Yeah.
And
that Blake Snell, 15 Ks yesterday. Let's go. Let's go, Giants. Walker, how are you doing today?
I'm okay. The Tigers lost 5-0.
That's they right. Get shit on.
They did not do very well.
Did good. I saw the Rockies playing against the Giants. I think it was Grant Brisby. It probably was him. Saying that when they play at Oracle, they play like they are suffering from radiation poisoning because they get absolutely obliterated every time they're there. So shout out to the Colorado Rockies being bad at baseball. Also, shout out. I'm working through my projections now. I'm way behind Walker, but shout out the Detroit Lions. They are going to have a monstrous season by my projection. So shout out to the Detroit Lions.
So what I'm hearing is Jeff is not going to agree with my bust, my Detroit Lions bust that I teased like a month ago.
Like 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Who is it? Oh, we'll find out.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm just kidding.
I have no idea who it is.
All right, so we've gone through the AFC, NFC sleepers. Now we're going to go through the NFC busts. We did the AFC busts already. And then next week we're going to do Pick Your Poison the episode, which is kind of our like foray into it being actual draft season. So let's go, baby. All right. So we're going to start with the NFC and we'll start with Walker with the tease of all teases with the NFC North.
Oh boy. All right. So my NFC North bust, as of writing this down, he was going at tight end one.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
ADP of 21 overall.
Brock Wright.
Pick 209. It's Brock Wright.
That's way too high for Brock Wright.
It's so high. He should be taking James Mitchell instead. It's Sam Laporta. I have him at tight end 3. He's still going to be pretty damn good this season, but he had very high touchdown production last year. And I don't really see him getting more targets this year. He's probably going to be the same. And I don't think that his stat line from last season gets him tight end one again with Kelsey going to get a lot of targets. Andrews healthy again. I could see Trey McBride getting more catches and having a better PPR season. So I think it's a little too high for Laporta, in my opinion. Do I think he's really good? Yes. I just don't see the role being big enough for him to be like runaway tight end one, second round pick guy.
Yeah. I mean, I did my projections. I projected the Lions pretty much running the same offense as last year. I just kind of moved some stuff around, like gave more carries from Montgomery to Gibbs, moved targets. Like I consolidated all the like bottom of the roster speed guy targets all into Jameson Williams and stuff. And I still kind of got Laporta up there. I gave him 1,000 yards. He finished with 889 last year. Like I think that he didn't really hit the wall, but he kind of slowed down in the second half. He had some games like 3 for 18, 2 for 23, 3 for 18. Like if those turn into what the rest of his season was, then he easily finishes with like 950 yards. So I just think a little bit of a bump, a little bit of a yards per reception bump, a little bit of a catch rate bump. I dropped his catch rate a little bit. And then I gave him, I think, 9 touchdowns because he did have those 3 in 1 game that kind of boosted his final stat line.
Right. I have 86 for 933 and 8.
Okay. I would pull up my projections thing, but the thing I got from, I think it's yards per fantasy, will crash everything if I open it while we're running Skype. So
not great.
It is very powerful, but it is very CPU intensive. Like it is, It is nuts. So I know he ended up with 1,009. I think it was like, I think he ended up with like 85. Like he ended up with the same amount of, around the same number of catches, but a higher efficiency and one less touchdown. I think, you know, I think you're splitting hairs here. I don't think, like, even if I project him as tight end one, I would move him down because I do like Andrews more. I do like, I'm going to put Kittle at one until I can't. Like, it's sort of like the Mike Trout thing where it's like, maybe he's not going to finish one, but he has the best odds to finish in the top three. So for years, Mike Trout would go one in fantasy baseball because.
Do you mean, you know, Kelsey?
What did I say?
You said Kittle.
Oh, I meant Kelsey. I'm sorry. I meant Kelsey. Sorry.
I thought you were I thought you were doing an extended Homer bit for a second.
Yeah. Oh, no. I meant Kelsey. He has the best odds. Yeah, because he has the guaranteed volume, especially because what's that wide receiver room? I mean, how many games is Rashee Rice going to play? How many games is Hollywood Brown going to play? Is Xavier Worthy any good?
Yeah, we don't know any of those answers.
Yeah, and that's why I think that Kelsey, he's a shoo-in to get the most target. Oh, not shooting to get the most targets, but the most beneficial targets. Like Evan Engram, I was listening to TH Fantasy, had like 20 screen passes last year, which is insane.
Yeah.
That's too many screen passes for a tight end. What are you doing? But like the more downfield targets. So I get it. I think that, you know, going from one to three is not really a bust, but I get what you're saying. He's going too high.
I don't think he's going to return second round value is what I'm saying. Cause like my suggested alternative pick is to wait exactly two rounds and just take Mark Andrews, who's going to outperform him probably this year.
Oh yeah. That's a great idea. I did not know that. Yeah.
Yeah. As of writing this down, Laporta was going 209. Andrews was going 409. So, and that tracks with mock drafts I've done. He's been going at the back end of the fourth round most of the time.
Yeah, so take Mark Andrews this year. He was Mark Andrews, and then his injury was a broken leg. So it's not like, you know, he tore a ligament or anything. It was a bone break. So he was. I think they were talking about, like, if they played in the Super Bowl, he probably would have been able to play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I would not worry about Mark Andrews being anything but Mark Andrews, especially because, like we were talking about with Travis Kelce, what's that wide receiver room look like?
They have Zay Flowers, who's a, I would call him a good number two.
Rashad Bateman.
Rashad Bateman, who could be a wide receiver three type or could be useless. We have no idea yet. And then Isaiah Likely, who is good, but also plays the same position as Andrews.
Yeah. So
it's not great.
It's not great. So, Mike, what are your thoughts up at the top at tight end?
I could see what you guys are saying about Kelsey and then Andrews. I think the strategy is sound with Walker saying is why go with someone I lost my train of thought. So instead of going, go with Andrews and then. That way you can wait two rounds. So that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. All the same tier, get the most, the most value there.
Right. And I wouldn't consider him a bust just because those are the stipulations. He's still going to be at least a top three tight end. So
yeah.
Is that really a bust? I don't know.
I think that what Walker is doing is the thing that I would do. I'd be like, this is for a couple years. I'd be like, this is the top guy in the tier. Don't take him because there are better values in that tier.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, he's, you know, I have him with very slightly less production than Andrews. And I mean, it's an 11 point difference. So that's what 0.6 points per game. Yeah, they're in the same tier. It's just you can get Andrews two rounds later so you can get a better player. Instead, would you rather have Sam Laporta and Christian Kirk? Or would you rather have Mark Andrews and Jalen Waddle?
I would rather have Mark Andrews and Christian Waddle, Kirk. Waddle. No.
Christian Kirk.
I would go Waddle Waddle. Okay. All righty. So you heard it here first, folks. Walker Kelly hates Sam Laporta. Thinks he
Can't
is a bust.
Can't stand him.
Can't stand him. Thinks he's a bad football player.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
In fact, he is a very good football player, and I love having him on the Detroit Lions.
Mm. I don't think so. Doesn't sound like you do. All right.
You're negative over there.
My guy.
On his own team.
My guy. Currently has no timeline to return for injury, yet is being drafted as a starter at his position. Don't do that.
Are you NFC North? NFC North.
He's the 12th pick at his position right now. Thinking about it?
I'm thinking.
Walker, this player used to be near and dear to your heart. And now you hate him because he's on a rival.
Now I hate him. DeAndre Swift?
TJ Hockenson.
Oh, okay. Right.
TJ Hockenson tore his ACL last year on Christmas Eve. So as of right now, as of pulling this, there is no timeline for him to return. Yet he is going as tight end 12. I get that when he returns to form, he will be a top 12 tight end. There's no doubt in my mind about that. He will get the volume. But here's the problem. Who's going to be his quarterback at that time? J.J. McCarthy? Sam Darnold?
One of those two, yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to be scraping by at the 4 for 40? Are you going to hold him onto your roster for four, 5, 6 weeks to get back in tight end one production? Like, this is honestly the one pick that when I look at everything, I go, what the hell are you doing? what is your thought process here? Because
I'm going to wait on tight end, take TJ Hockenson, so I have to waste another pick on a shittier tight end.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm going to take TJ Hockenson and Chigakonkwo. I'm going to get that
top
11 upside. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all whatsoever. Yeah.
I'm going to take TJ Hockenson and taking TJ Hockenson and Juwan Johnson and then having to pick up a third tight end week one waivers.
Look, I have accidentally done that before. Taken two injured upside players at tight end and been like, well, shit. I guess
I'm dropping one of these guys, actually. I meant to have Jonnu Smith instead.
Yeah. Here's the fun part. Brock Bowers goes like a round ahead of him.
I know, and Brock Bowers is sick as hell.
Yeah, if you're waiting that long, just take, like, he's pick 111 right now. Just take a guy around earlier in Brock Bowers who, one, is going to play week one, two, is way better, and three, is not currently injured. Because here's the thing, we saw it last year with J.K. Dobbins. He wasn't the guy that he was when he first started to come back from injury. So it took him a few weeks, and then he tore his Achilles, but it took him a few weeks to get back up to form. So, like, what happens, you get TJ Hockenson. He's sitting on your roster. You start him for the first time the second week of October. 3 for 35. Cool, man. That's going to be what, like tight end 14?
Tight end 17.
Yeah, so then you're halfway through the fantasy regular season, and you have not had a good game.
Over halfway through the fantasy regular season.
And you have not had a good game from your tight end from your tight end 12.
That you pick in the eighth round. Why are you doing that?
Why are you doing this to yourself? So there's like no statistics to this because it's so on its face stupid. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all whatsoever. Like, on its face, it makes no sense. You are taking this player as a starting player on your team. So either one, you're taking him as a set of two, which means you're going to take a shot on another tight end. What if he stinks? Then all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball. Or two, what is he going to be, your second tight end? So that means you're taking a two top 12 tight ends. Why would you do that? What are you doing?
I'm taking Dalton Kincaid in the fifth round and then doubling down with TJ Hockenson in the ninth.
Yeah, exactly. It's so stupid. So
I call that the Andrew Cooper special.
Ooh, the yin and yang tight end, the bad and broken.
That's right.
All right. So, I mean, that one's pretty straightforward. Any thoughts on that? Is there anything that I said that's out of bounds?
No.
No, definitely not. No, I agree. I don't understand it either.
Yeah, it makes no sense. All right, Mike, you have to pick another NFC North tight end. So Mike's going to be like, I hate Luke Musgrave.
I mean, I do hate Luke Musgrave. That dude is mid as hell.
Yeah. All right, Mike, who is your NFC North bust for this season?
My NFC North bust is kind of the same reason, since plays for the same team, the Minnesota Vikings. And One of the reasons is Kevin O'Connell as a head coach likes to throw the ball and likes to throw the ball and likes to throw the ball, which is kind of bad if you're a running back because you're not really, you know.
Because it's right there in the name.
Right.
Supposed to be running, man.
You're not running, then I don't know what you're doing. And also if you look at his production wise, as far as running backs go, 15 plus PPR points each of the past two seasons. It's only Alexander Mattison who's averaged 8.3 per game. And we saw that experiment fail miserably. So my pick is Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones. So I kind of feel like Aaron Jones was my boy for a long time. Like I wanted the Niners to draft him out of UTEP. And I kind of feel like this is the year where I think we talked about it, where I'm out. I think this might be getting out a year early, but I'd rather get out of a year early than too late, because Mike nailed it. Kevin O'Connell throws the ball a ton. And Aaron Jones, he's a good pass catching back. He liked one of my tweets once where I was like, Aaron Jones, what the hell are you doing? Because he was high pointing a ball 15 yards downfield. He's a good pass catching back. But at the same time, I would just like to, again, remind you both, his quarterback will be one of J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he will be behind Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison in the pecking order at least. And then when TJ Hawkinson comes back, you know, eventually he'll be behind them in the pecking order. So this is like he's RB18 from what I have pulled up. So he'll probably be like RB18 until Hawkinson comes back, and then his volume shrinks. And he's going to be like RB like 25, 26. And that's going to be in your fantasy playoffs. So this guy that's been kind of okay all year long, like just good enough for you to not to replace him or not to look for somebody better or an upgrade, is all of a sudden going to fall because his volume is going to go down.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I was laughing because you used like a they pronoun to refer to TJ Hawkinson, and it just made me think of non-binary TJ Hawkinson as a concept.
TJ Hawkins child. Not a son.
Yeah, not a son. Just a child.
Oh my god. TJ Hawkin offspring.
The T in TJ stands for they them, so
Hawktua.
Hawktua, baby.
No. God damn it. I guess I'm the in on Aaron Jones person on the podcast. Oh my
god. Walker hates Sam Laporta, loves Aaron Jones.
But not really that much. I mean, I have him at RB16. He's going as 19. So it's just a tier difference, really. And I would honestly, like, I have Joe Mixon below him, but I would take Joe Mixon over him. I'd consider taking Ken Walker over him. That would be a close call. Even David Montgomery, I think, would be right along, you know, along the same lines there. So, yeah, I think he's going about where he should. I'm not super interested in that range. I don't usually take running backs in that range, you know, because if I'm going to, then I can just take a guy I'm higher on, like James Cook or, you know, Travis Etienne's been slipping in drafts. Alvin Kamara goes too late. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. I would take Kamara 100 times out of 100 over Aaron Jones.
Yeah. Not even close.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara will catch a buttload of passes.
Yeah, it does. People are like, oh, but his running efficiency, like, who cares?
I don't care, man.
Reception's worth,
4.1 yards a carry, baby, and still going to have 240 points.
Yeah. Again, I would just like to point out, one catch equals 10 yards rushing.
One catch, 1 point, baby.
Yeah, suck on that, nerds. All right. And then also Aaron Jones' point, one of the reasons why his value has gone down a lot, 2019, 19 touchdowns. Then every year, 11, 10, 7, 3.
Now, I do have him bouncing back a little bit on that because I do think he will score a lot more than 3 touchdowns this year. But
by this math, he's going to have -1 touchdown, Walker.
Well, I mean, if that happens, then we're really in trouble. Yeah. You definitely shouldn't pick him at that point. And honestly, if that's the case, then Ty Chandler, probably a pretty good late running back.
Ty Chandler. A bad running back, but he is cheap.
Ty Chandler he's fine.
You can cut him.
I don't think he's good or bad, honestly.
No, he's fine.
He's there.
He's in the same talent tier as like Deonta Foreman. You're like, hey, you're there, buddy. You exist.
Yeah, I was gonna say Chuba, even though I like Chuba, but like it's the same. They're all the same guy.
You exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can soak up carries and get 4 yards.
You are definitely on a depth chart. That is something that is for certain.
That we're calling it the Zach Charbonnet Award.
That man is definitely on a depth chart. I will tell you that much.
Ooh.
Remember when people said that he was going to take Ken Walker's job?
That was very funny and
idiots.
Not smart to say. You should have been doing that.
Shouldn't have been doing that. All right. Is it bad that I'm looking at my possible bust list and I drafted like multiple of these guys in Scott Fishbowl?
Probably.
is that bad?
Yeah, might be.
So do you have busts for every team too?
Oh, I do.
Oh, okay. So let's see. Oh.
So the Lions?
Lions, Montgomery?
It's Sam Laporta, question mark?
Oh, okay, fair enough. Packers,
you know who the Packers are.
Your bust? Dobbs?
Oh, I didn't actually write about it. It's Christian Watson. I forgot to write about him, but he's in the list. Oh,
you hate Christian Watson again?
Write about Christian Watson. Yeah, dude, because he can't stay healthy. And even when he is healthy, he's getting the same number of targets as the other guys.
Yeah, but they throw it way down the field to him all the time.
Yeah, and he doesn't catch it at the same rate.
And then they throw him in the red zone constantly, too.
They started to do that with Jaden Reed down the stretch. It's Christian Watson. Don't argue with me. Don't you dare. All right.
Christian Watson is a perfectly fine dart throw in the middle of your draft this year.
Jaden Reed's a better one.
Yeah. Jaden Reed's better at football than Christian Watson.
Yes.
And then Bears, DJ Moore.
Yes, but I didn't write about him. I put in the intro, I was like, this is specifically for Tony. So I just wrote overvalued DeAndre Swift. Because a lot of his value is tied up in receiving and there's a lot of mouths to feed there. So I think that he's a little bit overvalued, even though I have him in Scott Fishbowl, but he was RB21 overvalued. I think I got him as like the 30th running back off the board, which is fine. Jeez. I have no problem with that. Yeah.
I mean, that was what I did. I mean, I took Jaleel McLaughlin, who I don't really care about, but it was like RB53 and I was like, well, he's got pass catching upside. So why not?
Yeah. And I took the best receiver on the Chargers. In my Scott Fishbowl draft too, the only guy on the Chargers with a 1,000-yard season.
Yes. Yes.
Woo! Let's see. I took Swift in the 10th round.
Okay, that's pretty late. Yeah.
Yeah, he went behind Zach Moss, Tony Pollard, Tyjae Spears, Jalen Warren, Nick Chubb.
Christ.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb is dope as hell, but like he is still probably not going to play for a little bit.
Yeah, he's still got some problems. So, all right. Yeah, I think he was like RB30 or something, somewhere around that range. So, oh, I still have two guys on my board that weren't drafted in Scott Fishbowl, Greg Zuerlein and Michael Badgley, who is now hurt, I guess.
Michael Badgley on IR, out for the season.
Yeah. So, oops.
Tore his hamstring.
Oops. Ooh. Oh. Yeah. Oh boy. All righty. So, what are the other ones? We got the Bears, Lions.
Yeah, oh, you already did your rankings.
Yeah, Vikings. So okay.
All right, let's do NFC East. Mike, go first.
So another old guy.
Oh boy.
Geriatric Central here for me. And he fell off very fast. He was averaging 20 PPR points per game, and then slid down to 13.2. And then really got bad in the final 8 games, where he was averaging 9.7 points PPR. And that's Washington Commanders, mm-hmm. Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler fell off for real.
He did, yeah. Big time. And I think a lot of that has to do with his age and things like that. And not only did he fall off and he's now with the Commanders, but there's no way he's going to be the lone back as he was with the Chargers. Brian Robinson's there. And then not only that, they got a running quarterback in Daniels. So that's going to take away from him as well.
From the receiving.
So it's just a lot of takeaways from him. And I don't see a lot of positives in his game anymore.
That's weird. That's a lot different from my bust, who is strangely enough coming off of a 1,000-yard season, six touchdowns last year, but his efficiency dropped across the board. He was under 4.2 yards per carry for the first time in his career. His yards per target was like the second lowest of his career. His name was Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I kind of thought. I will say we're going to make it 3 for 3 on Commanders. Mine's not Eckler, but it is a Commander.
Yeah, but RB31 right now, like I get that he kind of has pass catching upside, but
why not just take Tyjae Spears in the same spot?
Just take Tyjae Spears. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, why take Austin Eckler, a falling knife? Which I don't know. Do you know the adage of a falling knife?
I mean, you probably shouldn't grab it.
You shouldn't try to catch it. Yeah. Right. So with Austin Eckler, you're trying to catch a falling knife, even though he had 1,006 last year, but he did that on 230 touches, which, you know, the reason he was so good was because he was getting a ton of touchdowns and he was the only game in town. And now he's not. Like, think what you think about Brian Robinson, but Brian Robinson's going to be good for what, 225 carries next year at least. Yeah. Like, he's just going to carry the rock.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they have the slowest running back room in the league by a mile. I mean, their three guys are Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, and Chris Rodriguez. And none of those guys are fast at all. So I have Eckler 36. He's going 31. That's not great. I mean, he's going to catch some passes, probably three a game, but like, that's not good enough to consistently play in your flex when he's not going to score much.
Yeah. And I mean, Mike mentioned Jaden Daniels. Like, those dump off passes that would go to running backs are just going to be rushes. Mm-hmm. And you've got Terry McLaurin, who, you know, we're starting to see the age thing with Terry McLaurin. I don't think he's bad, but I think that we've kind of gotten sick of waiting for him to become the next big thing. Like,
well, he's 29 years old, and I know he hasn't ever played with a great quarterback, but like, what he is he's like a worse version of Mike Evans, where he gets 1,000 yards almost every year, but it's like just barely all the time. He's always getting like 72 for 1,020.
Yeah. And it's like, we've been waiting. It's, you know, this is going to hurt me to say, we were waiting for it with DJ Moore and it happened.
Right. You know? I was just going to say, he's DJ Moore without the blow up season.
Yeah, exactly. Or as some call him, Denniston Moore. Denniston Moore Jr. That's his real name. Because I was seeing how old he was. He's 27. So he finally got his good quarter, or, you know, a decent quarterback production. Now he might have, you know, the best prospect since Andrew Luck at quarterback. And Terry McLaurin has a run first quarterback.
Yeah.
In a room with some, you know, I don't particularly believe in Luke McCaffrey, but they took him in the third round. There's got to be some choice for him. Yeah, I mean, but still.
Like 99 or something.
Still. I mean, think about guys that have gone in that range. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Come on.
No, I don't believe in Luke McCaffrey, but he's, you know, he's a quirked up white boy. You know, he's going to be an okay slot guy. And then you got Jahan Dotson, who's going to take targets. Terry McLaurin, who's going to take targets. Our big, beautiful boy, Ben Sinnott. He's going to take targets.
Ben Sinnott.
What's left for Austin Eckler? There's going to be hardly anything left.
I mean, Zach Ertz is going to pick up a few short area targets here and there, too.
Yeah, he'll get 4 targets a game till he gets hurt. He will finish with 16 targets.
16.
Sounds about right.
So, there's just nothing left for Austin Eckler. Okay. I don't get it. There's not an upside there. Unless you all of a sudden think that the Commanders are going to turn into this high flying offense where he's going to have, you know, like 15 goal line carries a la Gus Edwards last year.
Yeah. Just came out of that one,
but and so it's going to be one of those things where I just don't see the upside. So I think Mike and I are in agreement. Walker, your Commander was Brian Robinson.
No.
Terry McLaurin.
No.
Ben Sinnott.
Oh, God, no. I love Ben Sinnott.
Jahan Dotson?
No, it's Jaden Daniels.
Oh.
Ooh.
I'm the anti Jaden Daniels guy this year. I have him. He's going QB 12, I believe. Yep. And I have him at 17. I think he'll certainly be a good streamer in good matchups. He will be able to put up some yards. But this is a guy who, I mean, he straight up was bad in college until his fifth-year senior season. And I know his fifth-year senior season was very good, and he won the Heisman and all that. But, you know, I'm not discounting that. I'm not saying he's not talented. I don't know if he's really all that ready to be an NFL quarterback. And I have a tough time believing he's going to throw for much more than about 20 touchdowns. I think he's going to be close to the league lead in picks. He'll run for at least 500 yards and could even get up into like the 700 yard range for rushing yards, but he's not very big. So I can't imagine he's going to be running for a ton of touchdowns. You know, he's not even built like Kyler, where Kyler's short, but he's got some meat on his bones. Like, Daniels is skinny. He can't take hits. So I have too many concerns to be taking him as a top 12 option at the position.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where we get so excited about players and what their upside could be that we start taking them at their upside. And I agree with the touchdown thing. Like, so much of the value for rushing quarterbacks is their touchdowns, but that's because you need guys that are kind of built. And, you know, how many – here, let's put it this way. What former Washington Commander is he most like in terms of play style? And
right, RG3.
How many career rushing touchdowns does RG3 have?
I don't know. I'm going to guess 9.
10. He has 10 career rushing touchdowns. And granted, I mean, he couldn't stay on the field. 7 of them were in his rookie year. But at the same time, like, you can't just plot touchdown production onto a rushing quarterback, because not all of them are going to have a tush push like Jalen Hurts. Not all of them are going to be built like Josh Allen. Not all slash Cam Newton. You know, they're essentially built the same. So it's one of those things where, yes, he's a rushing quarterback. Yes, he'll get a lot of yards, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get a lot of touchdown production. At the same time, I vehemently disagree with the bust pick here. I think that the rushing performance will give him a good floor, but I get where you're coming from insofar as the touchdowns won't boost him up. I think that he's going to turn around and be, Derek Carr with 600 rushing yards, which will get you into top 10, top 12 production.
See, I think he's more like Bryce Young with 600 rushing yards.
Well, how many? Okay, so let's see. Bryce Young. Oh, boy. Have you guys seen this? He was bad.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think Jaden Daniels is very good right now. He could be, but right now, no, I don't think so.
So you think Jaden Daniels is going to throw for fewer than... I mean, yeah, it makes sense, actually, for him to throw for fewer than 3,000 yards.
No. I have him at 3,500.
Well, that's 700 more than Bryce Young last year.
Yeah, fair. I mean, but it's not... I mean, what do I have Derek Carr for? 4,260.
Yeah, but... And okay, that's true. No. Wait, hold on. Timeout. I thought Derek Carr had much fewer passing yards than that last year. I might have accidentally... bulked up Jay Daniels way more than I wanted to. Yeah, I was thinking like last year. Okay, 35. 2 years ago. His last year with Vegas. He had 35, 22, and 24. So I think that the touchdowns, fewer touchdowns, same amount of passing yards, but like 600 rushing yards. And that's like a top 8 quarterback. I think that's in his realm of outcomes. I think that his rushing will help him. I don't think he'll get the touchdowns, but I think that his rushing will help.
Yeah, I just don't think he's the Justin Fields level rusher.
That's fair. But he's a better passer than Justin Fields.
I'm not convinced.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
It's an unknown. Well, we know what we do know is that he can run. That's what we do know.
Mm-hmm.
How accurate he is and what, you know, what he can do with the football is an unknown. We do know he has talent around him. Even Jahan Dotson has shown some talent sometimes. He had a good solid rookie year. And Terry McLaurin is, even though you guys are correct, he hasn't really shown what he could be. But, you know, Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, even though I'm down on him, they're still talented individuals. So there's talent around him. What he can do with that is what we don't know. And maybe he'll just be a dump off specialist for his rookie season until he gets better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sorry, I'm scrambling because I accidentally deleted my sleepers list, I think.
Oh, no.
I mean, my bus list. Where did it go? I lost it. Oh, my God. I can tell you my sleepers again. No!
How did you manage to do that?
I don't know. I picked up my phone and it was gone. Hold on. Let me reload my notes. Yeah, no, it's gone. It's gone. I don't know what happened here. Oh, boy.
Can you go into your deleted notes?
No, it's just like gone. It's like I accidentally like hit space over it or something. I don't know. We can't guess my busts now, I guess.
Oh, that's fine. Whatever.
All right. So we're going to have to do it live then. So I'll figure it out. I got my guys in my head. So we talked NFC East, NFC North. So let's talk NFC South. And Jeff's going last now because he has to remember who is. Oh, actually, no, I don't have to remember who my bust is. It's very easy. There's a guy who's not good at football that's going as running back 13 based off of pure volume alone. And his new offensive coordinator is not going to throw the ball to the running back nearly as much because he's going to throw the ball a ton to Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan and maybe even Ade Cotton. I don't know. But it's Rashad White. He's bad. He's a bad football player. He was a volume merchant last year. Let me just pull up some notes on the fly here because I did not write the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yet. So I kind of my little notes list thing is gone. So in terms of statistics that we got going on here, Rashad White, fourth in weighted opportunities last year, fourth in receptions, fourth in snap share, but yards per touch, 33rd. True yards per carry, 57th. Breakaway run rate, 47th.
Yeah.
Yards created per touch, 23rd, which is fine. But he just had 272 carries and 70 targets. He had the top 10 in goal line. I'm sorry, in red zone touches, 6 goal line carries. Like, it was all opportunity. He was a volume merchant. We've seen this before. We saw it with Dameon Pierce. He was a volume merchant. That's all Dameon Pierce was his rookie year. He was not particularly good. He was not particularly effective. We've seen it again in Denver. Javonte Williams. Look at that dude's per carry stats. He's not good, but he's a volume merchant. Same shit with Rashad White. Dameon Pierce is going undrafted. Javonte Williams is going as RB30, but Rashad White is in some leagues because of how ADP works. Somebody's taking him as their RB1.
Yeah, I mean,
it makes no sense.
I think he has a decent floor because admittedly he is a good pass catcher. He's able to make guys miss in the open field and he catches the ball smoothly and gets upfield. I think he will have a receiving floor because I think Baker will just dump off to him sometimes. But I do agree he'll get less carries than he did last year. He'll probably catch the ball a little bit less. He's still going to be brutally inefficient. It's just not, it's not going to be great because he's not great. And I mean, I think he'll probably still finish as an RB2, but he's definitely not going to return value as a fringe. You're picking him as a fringe RB1. That's not what you should be doing, in my opinion.
All right, let's play the game. These are the running backs going after him. Rashad White or James Cook?
Cook.
Mike?
Cook.
Rashad White or Joe Mixon?
Mixon.
Rashad White or Alvin Kamara?
Kamara.
Kamara has the same profile of Rashad White, but he's guaranteed like 20 more targets and he's a better football player. Makes no sense. Rashad White or Ken Walker?
Ooh, I might go White here.
White.
I think that's my break-even point too. So Rashad White going as RB13, and we're unanimous that we would take RB14, 15, and 16 ahead of him. It makes no sense. If you're going to take Rashad White, literally the next pick by ADP is James Cook.
And he's better. And also will probably have more touches.
Exactly. And so he also doesn't have, really a lot of big weapons to contend with in the passing game in terms of touchdown catches. Like Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. Did everybody see the Dawson Knox catch today?
No.
I did. It was a good
catch. It confirms my prior. So it's a valuable clip. So, my bust, Rashad White, stinky, not good.
This guy stinks.
Alrighty. Any other thoughts on Rashad White? Mike, your thoughts.
The only question, I mean, we know he's not a very good running back, but the only question is Is he going to catch the whatever he caught, 70 passes or whatever it was last year? Why not again with the same type of offense? And that's sort of the question is, you know, how do we think he's not going to do that?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of, you know, there was in the draft this year because there wasn't good running backs, really. Like we talked about it, the running backs this year are not great except for Jonathan Brooks. He's pretty good. We saw a lot of like, hey, we're going to pick X player to take a little bit of Y off of their plate. And in this case, Bucky Irving went to the Buccaneers and he's only good at catching passes. It's the only thing he's good at. So if you're going to take Bucky Irving, unless you're going to like convert him to the new kickoff rules or what have you, he's got to be there to help take some snaps away from Rashad White. And those snaps would be the passing downs work, the pass catching work. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying he's not going to get that, I'm not saying he's going to have no receptions now, but maybe closer to 50 instead of 70 on, you know, in that mark. So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm just following the tea leaves a little bit of like, why would they draft Bucky Irving? Like, what is Bucky Irving good at? He's good at this. Okay. So that's got to be taking away from that from Rashad White. Same thing with like Blake Corum in LA. He's the same player as Kyren Williams, just like 5% worse. So it's like, why would they take him? Oh, that's to take overall touches away from Kyren. So it's the same sort of theory there. That's why I'm not super convinced he's going to get the same number of targets.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Plus, guess who led all tight ends in snaps last year, if I'm remembering correctly?
Cade Otton.
Cade Otton, baby. He's also, on the field.
They do have a new offensive coordinator as well.
Yeah.
Liam Dave Cohen Canales is there.
Yeah. Dave Canales left. So.
Right. So it's going to be what I've been hearing is it's a lot of motion stuff. It's going to look like the Rams. So who? Fire up Chris Godwin, baby.
The Rams who don't pass the ball to the running back.
True. I think White will get pretty much all those opportunities. I disagree that Irving's going to take those. Just because I think even if that was the plan, I think they'll just see, oh, White's better at it. So we're just going to do it with White.
Well, and it's also the thing where if you have a specialty back and you put him on the field, the defense is like.
What? Yeah. Hey, the specialty the specialty guy's in. I know what he's doing.
Yeah, I know what he's doing. Exactly. So it could be one of those things where he gets like, you know, like 13 targets in the first 3 weeks and ends the season with like 25.
Yeah.
Irving, that is.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So, okay. Mike, your NFC South bust.
My NFC South bust, someone that, you know, I really haven't liked since, he's come into the league. Someone who hasn't really ever not busted actually.
Lamar Jackson's in the AFC North, dude.
That's right. Huh? NFC North, NFC South. I got that
same thing.
Polarized
campus
going. So Kyle Pitts, he's not primed to be part of this offense, featured part of this offense. Nor is he guaranteed to finish even second in team and targets. And you got they're going to definitely feature the run with Bijan Robinson. And in 44 career games, he has 6 touchdowns. 8 games with 70 or more yards and 9 games with 5 or more receptions. So that's 44 career games. And in just nine of those games, he has 5 or more receptions. I mean, he's just been a bust, and I don't see this trend not continuing. It's not like they're going to feature him. It's not like he's not showing a propensity to do anything, especially catch touchdowns. That's only his propensity is to not catch touchdowns. So yeah, Mr. Bust, Kyle Pitts is the Pitts.
All right, so tight end 6, number 62 off the board. Walker clearly has something to say.
I disagree.
What?
Oh, wow.
You're not supposed to do
that. Oh, my God.
Because I think he's going to get a lot of targets. I don't. Darnell Mooney is not going to have more targets than Kyle Pitts. I'm sorry.
No,
not happening.
You're saying Bijan.
Bijan is not going to have more than Kyle Pitts either. Kyle Pitts is going to have over 100 targets.
What?
And he also has had a 1,000-yard season before. I mean, I don't think he's going to catch a lot of touchdowns either, but I think he's going to go over 1,000 receiving yards with a legitimately good quarterback, and I think that'll return pretty much what value you have. I have him at tight end 5. I would take him right around where he's going. I think it's fine. I don't I usually either take tight end before or after that, so I don't have a lot of Pitts. But if he falls to like the sixth or seventh round, I think it's a fine pick.
Yeah, usually, so I took Pitts in the Scott Fish Bowl, but usually I'm not looking there because he's going between Kincaid and Kittle, and that Kincaid, Pitts, Kittle, it's kind of a group where if I'm going to dive into it, I'll probably dive into it with Pitts just because, you know, Kittle's too good of a blocker. And if you're watching receiver, you're getting anti-hype on George Kittle because they talk about how he's like, I don't care if I get one catch for 12 yards as long as we're winning. It's like the opposite of where, you know, hear guys be like, I want to have the ball in my hands. If I don't have the ball in my hands, I almost said my ball in my hands. Hold on. If I don't have the ball in my hands, it's going to be a problem. And George Kittle's like, that's fine. I'll just pancake guys. So that group of tight ends is one that I'm not really diving into. I do have Kyle Pitts. I do think that my opinion's kind of like Walker's where it's like, yeah, he could be okay. Like, you know, I don't think you're going to regret taking Kyle Pitts, but do you know what upside he has? Some folks are calling him Kyle 1,010 Pitts.
I think I understand why Mike's opinion is show me more before I trust you.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. He's pick 62. He's a premium pick.
Right. I mean, I get it. You're taking a guy whose best season is 1,008 yards and 4 touchdowns. I understand that you might not want to use a fifth round pick on that. I get it. But if you're attacking tight end early, I think he has the best upside of that Pitts, Kincaid, Engram, Kittle group.
But yeah, I mean, at the same time, I don't know. This isn't a group, but we did that, Walker, we did that mock draft with the TH Fantasy guys earlier this week. This group is where I kind of just was just like, I don't want any of these players. You know, the only one that I want in this range between like Dalton Kincaid and like Ramondre Stevenson is probably Alvin Kamara. But this whole group, I'm just like stinky. Like it's stinky. I don't like it. So I get it. It's just kind of at a range where if I don't particularly like the options, I'll swing for the moon.
Right.
And that would be Kyle Pitts in this group, you know, because you have a lot of like, well, I guess Anthony Richardson will also be swinging for the moon. But yeah. You've got a lot of guys like Ken Walker, Christian Kirk, Keenan Allen, Aaron Jones, Terry McLaurin, David Montgomery. These are guys that are going as like mid to late wide receiver threes or mid to late RB2s, and that's kind of where they're going to end up. There's not a lot of upside there. It's the Akash meme. The right. Akash Shannon Sharp meme, you know? When I take Terry McLaurin as wide receiver 32 and he finishes wide receiver 29 sort of thing.
Yeah, sick, dude.
Yeah.
You got like 7 usable weeks and only 3 of them were wide receiver ones.
Yeah, so not a lot of upside in that area, except for like Kyle Pitts, I think. Especially because Ramondre Stevenson, whoo, he's going to get so much taken from him by the best running back on the roster.
Oh my God, shut up.
I was looking at their depth chart last night. They made the whole roster out of Jeff guys in the running back room. They got Ramondre.
Yeah.
Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Jermichael Hasty.
Oh my God.
And Kevin Harris.
Oh, you like Kevin Harris too?
I like Kevin Harris, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I liked Kevin Harris and Pierre Fast. So, but they have Pierre Fast anymore.
No, they traded him to Cleveland.
Boo. All right. So, Walker, your NFC South bust.
My NFC South bust. It's rookie running back who is injured. Jonathan Brooks. I don't understand why he's going as a fringe RB2 when he probably isn't going to play the first 6 weeks of the season. And we're not sure he's that great anyway. I mean, I think there's a scenario where he's basically the same guy production-wise as Chuba. And in that case, yes, because of the investment in him recently, he'll get more touches, but it could be a 60-40 thing. So you're drafting a guy at pick 79 who isn't going to play for almost half of the fantasy regular season, and when he comes back could be the 60 of a 60-40 split in an offense that's probably not going to be that good. The pass catching I like. I think he'll run for over 4 yards a carry, but I don't see him racking up enough stats in that time, you know, in that period of time to be worth taking over guys like Raheem Mostert or, you know, Zach Moss, the Tennessee running backs. Like, these, there's no reason for him to be going anywhere near those guys, in my opinion.
I mean, I'm realizing that I kind of was just assuming that Jonathan Brooks would be good to go for the beginning of the season and just kind of just like chilling with that. So he is on the NFI list. Not ready, may not be ready for camp. This report from a month and a half ago, and he's on the NFI list. But here's the thing. He tore his ACL 6 weeks before TJ Hockenson.
So, I mean, theoretically, he could be ready for the start of the season, but I highly doubt he'd be at anywhere near a full workload.
Yeah, I think that, well, one, I don't think that Chuba Hubbard's very good. Sorry. I think that he's in that, like you said, Deonta Foreman, Ty Chandler. Hey, you are definitely on a depth chart sort of guy. He's not a difference maker.
No, and but, I agree. And I have Brooks ahead of Hubbard. I mean, I have Brooks at 35. I have Hubbard at 40. I just think Hubbard's going to start off as the 1A to ease Brooks in, and then Brooks will take over. But I don't think it's going to be big enough that he ends up being like a league winner in the fantasy playoffs. Like, I just don't see him being a guy who, like, in week 15 and 16 scores like 50 combined points. Because when's he going to get all those touchdowns?
That's true. It's not a good offense. It's going to be a stinky offense.
His pass catching upside is limited too, because they have two other short area targets with Thielen and Deontay.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say too. Is they have no, like, who's their field stretcher? Jonathan Mingo? Oh, Xavier Legette? Yeah, but it's like
he's fast, but like he's not very good.
Their top three targets are all going to have an ADOT of like 7 or less.
Woohoo!
Yeah, great. That's awesome, man.
That's really cool.
Bryce Young on the he is Diet Tua.
Bryce Young's gonna go 35 for 50 for 190 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gonna be the king of the 190 yard, one touchdown, no pick performance.
Yeah. And both Deontay and Adam Thielen finishing in top 20 in PPR leagues because they both have like 7 for 65.
Yes, it's Deontay Johnson with 8 catches for 75 yards, Thielen with 7 for 66, and then Tommy Tremble has 1 for 1 and a touchdown.
Tommy, you know, Tremble,
that is, baby. That's value, baby. That's why my sleeper is Tommy Tremble.
Hell yeah.
Ryan's mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
It's like, it's the worst case scenario for Tommy Tremble, for Dave Canales is, because like literally everywhere he's gone, he's like, yeah, I don't need to use tight ends. That's fine.
Yeah. And they don't have any good ones.
Yeah. He's like, nah, it's fine. He's like, they can be out there and running around, but they're not going to get targets. Like, that's fine. Like, so a man can still dream. I'm waiting for that David Njoku 6th-year breakout. Whatever. All right. So we did that. All right, let's finish it up with the NFC West. And Mike, we'll kick it off with you, your NFC West bust.
So if we go back to 2021, this guy was a complete stud. Caught 145 passes for 1,950 yards and 16 touchdowns. He won the NFL.
Guys, I think I might know who this is.
And who is that, maybe?
That would be maybe Cooper Kupp.
That may be Cooper Kupp. And he was just a downright stud, doing everything. And then now we don't know about him. He's injured a lot. He's not doing well when he's on the field. I mean, he had last year, he had a couple good games, but it wasn't all that great. And then he averaged just 8.6 points last season. So filled with injuries, the fact that he's 31 years old now and not doing well when he's even on the field, I think it's maybe time. The last three games, he averaged, he got 15 points. So as a number one receiver, pass.
Is that good?
pass on as him as the number one receiver, passing on him as the second receiver as well. So I'm avoiding him altogether.
Well, my Scott Fishbowl team's not excited about this news.
Uh-oh.
Wait until Walker's Scott Fishbowl team hears about this.
It's bullshit, and I won't have it.
Yeah. Well, if Mike is correct, then there was a turn where I was trying to figure out if I was going to stack Stafford and Cup, but Cup went. And then I decided to stack Baker and Mike Evans instead. So hopefully that ends up working out for me.
Yeah, I mean, I took both Puka and Cup. So I guess if Cup sucks and Puka is amazing, then I'll still have Puka.
1,800-yard DeMarcus Robinson season incoming. Walker Scott Fishbowl team in shambles.
I don't think so.
Walker's like, probably I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I don't think so. So, I mean, I get it with Cooper Kupp. Like, he's lost a step. He's not who he was. Puka Nacua has shown that he's, like, a very good football player, we'll say. Some might say he had one of the best rookie wide receiver seasons of all time. Some might say that.
It might have been the best one.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe the record books might say he had the best one. Although, very funny that in Week 18, the entire game plan was to make the 49ers, their entire game plan was to make Puka Nacua take second half snaps. They tilted their entire defense into preventing him from getting that last catch that he needed just to make sure he played in the second half.
My God.
That was literally the game plan.
Absolute freaks. All football coaches and players are monsters.
Well, both teams had nothing to play for. Like, that was when Carson Wentz went all the way off. Sam Darnold proved that he's not as good as anybody ever thought he ever was.
Sam Darnold not. I don't think that's going to work out super great for Minnesota.
Nah,
Justin Jefferson will be fine, but like everybody else.
That's why you got to get J.J. McCarthy.
Did I say he averaged 15 points the last three games or only scored 15 points?
Oh, you said only scored 15.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
good, he says. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I still believe in Cooper Kupp. I know Walker still believes in Cooper Kupp, but right, Walker? You took him in your Scott Fishbowl draft.
Yeah, I think Kupp is a fine pick at cost. I mean, I think he'll get a lot of targets. He's still probably going to have over 1,000 yards, something close to, you know, half a touchdown a game. So somewhere in like the 8 touchdowns range. I think I have him projected for 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 84 for 10, 47, and 7, which puts him wide receiver 21, and he's going as wide receiver 20. So, ooh, fine.
So Walker hates Cooper Kupp. All right. I mean, it's fine. My bust was going to be George Kittle, and then I was looking at this here, and George Kittle was actually very good last year. I just decided he wasn't. He had...
Why'd you do that?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to the 49ers yet. I do everything alphabetically, which means I look at my own team very much at the end, towards the end, because I think they're alphabetically the fourth last team.
That's right.
Yeah, it depends on if you sort by... abbreviations, they're below the Seahawks, but if you sort by team name, they're above the Seahawks, because San and C, this is the shit that I deal with. Okay, these are my problems.
This is you're preaching to the choir here, man. I'm on spreadsheets all the time with this stuff.
Love spreadsheets. All right, maybe we should take our nose out of the spreadsheets, huh? I'm gonna say that it's going to be Kyren Williams, RB7 off the board. I kind of hinted at it with the Bucky Irving thing. They took Blake Corum specifically to take touches away from Kyren Irving, which is, I guess, between Kyrie Irving and Kyren Williams.
Yes. That's the, what if the Rams running back was anti-Semitic?
Yeah, like, what if the Rams running back was a huge InfoWars?
Oh, wait, Kyren that's Irving. Just, and also you have the Blake Corum connection to, known liker of anti-Semitic posts, Donovan Edwards.
Oh God, it's all coming together. It's gonna be the red strings in the room tying each other together.
That's right.
The thing my roommates in college called the crazy room. Like, they always say, oh, and then they just, like, in movies or stuff, they're like, and then they discover the crazy room, which, you know exactly what that is. It's newspaper postings all over the wall, strings everywhere. It's the crazy.
That's the obsession spot.
Yeah. But yeah, Blake Corum, like I said, he's like Kyren Williams, but like 5 to 10%, not as good. He's a short yardage beast. Like, that's what he made his hay at Michigan, was just like, you know, being like 15 for 55 and 5 touchdowns. That's the Blake Corum experience, because he just gets a ton of short. He's a great guy at getting like 3 yards if you need 1 yard. And I think that they're going to rotate Kyren Williams off the field enough to take touchdowns away from him to, you know, not really justify this RB7 draft price, because, you know, if you look at the other guys in that area, there's not a lot of competition except for like Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, but that's different. That's a much higher flying offense. I don't know. I don't really believe in Kyren Williams, and I'm doing this flying on the seat of my pants because I lost all my fucking notes. So sorry if it's kind of rambling. It's because all my notes disappeared halfway through the episode. I'm really pissed off about it. So, yeah, Kyren Williams, not as good as you think. There we go.
That's convenient, because my bust is also Kyren Williams.
Let's go.
Yeah, he'll have less touches this year. He'll probably still squeak out 1,000 rushing yards, but he's not going to catch nearly as many passes as he did last season. Probably more in the 30s. More like 10 touchdowns for the whole season. I think he ends up being like a high end to mid tier RB2, and he's going at like mid to low end RB1 prices right now. I would rather have Travis Etienne. I'd rather have Derrick Henry. I'd rather have Josh Jacobs. I'd rather have Isaiah Pacheco. I'd rather have Devon Achane.
All guys except for Achane who have no competition.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd rather have James Cook too, just for the record.
Also no competition. Shut up, Ray Davis heads.
Ray Davis. Oh, he's going to be good, despite the fact that they drafted him on day 3 and he's slower than molasses in January.
But have you considered that we need to find some sort of value here? So we're just going to say Ray Davis and backfill the reasons why.
There's so much value in the Buffalo wide receiver room. You don't need to create something in the running back room.
Well, they have to.
But why?
Because, Walker, have you seen fantasy Twitter?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's why.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, all right, Mike, you already did yours. Cooper Kupp. So we're done. We did it, everybody.
Bang.
We bang. And I just saw Cam Richard Funk. Have you guys seen this post?
Yes. There is a
swimmer for Canada named Richard Funk. So in the Olympics, when his little name comes up, it says, can Richard Funk? That's the question I'm leave you all with. Can he funk? Also, by the way, I would like to point out, just the last time that we spoke, no presidents in the current election cycle had been shot at, and Joe Biden was the nominee for the Democrats. So wow. A couple of things. It's been a while. By that, I mean like 2 weeks.
Dang. A lot of shit happens in 2 weeks.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I love politics season. It's back, baby. It's bad again.
It's bad again. Ooh, Wolf Howl. All right. So we will be back next week to talk Pick Your Poison, the episode. That's kind of like a good kickoff to draft season, and because it'll be August next time we talk. When in August? Who's to say? Maybe it'll be September, given how we go. Who knows?
But for Mike, tomorrow. <it'll> be,
oh, yeah. For Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Nah.
Bye.
Bye.